Chapter 38.
I thought you'd humiliate me, Gavin said. He didn't move. He still thought it. He scanned the room. His father was leaning back in his chair and the table was covered with food. Meat, dried fruits, sweetmeats, cheeses, bread, nuts, two flagons, two fine golden goblets. Gavin could hardly bear to look at it, and could hardly bear not to.
Humiliate you? By springing a trap on you, like all your others? What would that prove? That I could outthink a prisoner with no weapons, no tools, and only the light I've allowed him? That's not exactly a challenge, is it?
He hesitated.
Or are you really still trying to prove how smart you are? Is that what all this is?
There was no answer.
Come, sit, Andros said. This wine shan't stay chilled forever.
Indeed. There was condensation on one of the glasses. He'd not been here long, he was saying, just long enough to have plenty of time to wait for Gavin. He'd predicted him that perfectly. Andros tilted the goblet and inhaled the scent with relish.
Marvellous. Oh, wait. Was this the one I poisoned, or the other?
He picked up the other glass and drank.
Ah, that's right. I poisoned neither. What trivial games you play, boy. How unworthy you are of my name.
Gavin didn't move. It didn't make sense. His father had taken such precautions last time. Why simply let Gavin step within striking range? You fucker, Gavin said. That was the humiliation. Gavin was so weak the old man didn't fear physical violence from him. And Gavin couldn't draft. He had no power Andros need fear, neither martial, nor magical, nor mental. Andros grinned, as if pleased that Gavin had figured it out.
You know, I made a mistake with you.
More than one, Gavin said. Andros continued as if he'd not heard him.
I thought you'd found this prison. I had no idea you were so insane that you'd made it. I didn't realize the truth until you broke out of the blue cell. Then it became obvious. And of course you'd not have made a prison without designing ways for you yourself to escape.
I am my mother's son, Gavin said. Or Holum have mercy, that food. His whole body ached for it, not the hunger of the belly. Or Holum have mercy, that food. His whole body ached for it. Not the hunger of the belly, but the deeper hunger felt in the throat, like thirst. Andros's face darkened, but he controlled himself. He said,
I propose a trade.
A trade?
There is a dignity in making bargains, and you need all the dignity you can get. You know I'll abide by my word.
Gavin said nothing. He was too hungry, too weak. His mind couldn't race as fast as Andros Giles in this moment.
You give me the tooth and that bit of hellstone, and you can eat your fill.
Gavin's heart had been an eagle mounting on strong wings as he'd seen the chamber before him. His father's appearance had torn out his flight feathers, and now Andros plucked out his last hopes. Andros knew about the hellstone. He knew about it all. Wearing nothing but rags, Gavin had hidden both secrets in his cheeks like a hut chewer. Gavin's hopes plunged to earth, flapping wildly, helplessly, uselessly. Then what? Gavin asked.
Then you go back to a cell, of course.
Gavin didn't so much as glance back at the Lux torch he'd stuck in the works to keep the portcullis from failing. He was weak, but it could be used as a club. His father did look at it, pointedly.
Too far away, don't you think?
It was.
Even if it were closer, do you think it would be enough against me in your present state?
And Gavin's hopes plunged into the earth, ribs breaking, body smashed. There was nothing left for him. Andros said,
Come now, sit, sit, sit. We have so much to talk about.
Gavin hesitated for one moment more.
So disappointing, Andros said.
He sighed.
It used to be your particular strength, that you could see how a situation had changed and adapt to it instantly. Dazen.
It was a horse, stomping on a body already dead. Gavin had known his father had to know by now, but to hear it, to have that sick, shameful truth spoken, was more than he could bear.
3, 2, 1, and the offers expired, Andros said,
and now he was stripping the dead for loot, breaking open Gavin's jaw to get at a gold tooth.
But wait, I haven't. I gave you a fair chance. This wasn't a trap. This food was here for you, and you had it. Almost.
And now Andros was desecrating the dead,
mutilating the corpse. The word had a resonance here, in this chamber.
Almost. But Gavin was already speaking, reacting, walking toward Andros, for may not the desecrated dead rise as vengeful ghosts?
I want you to know, Father, I didn't know if I could really go through with it and kill Gavin, but then I realized I wasn't murdering him. I was freeing him from the nightmare you'd pulled him into when he was just a child. You took him away from us and destroyed the boy he was. I was freeing him from your corruption. It was a mercy killing.
Rage washing over his face, Andros snapped his fingers, and light flared from a wall back and to Gavin's left. Fiery letters appeared, spelling out almost in Gavin's own hand, the very sign he'd used to taunt his brother into his trap. But how had Andros triggered it? Gavin didn't wait. He lunged toward the old man. An egg of red Luxin larger than his head hit him in the face and blew him off his feet. Gavin fell flat on his back and pawed at the sticky pyre jelly covering his face, spitting, trying to breathe. He barely opened his eyes in time to see Andros standing over him, one hand aflame. With a combustible goop on his face, if Andros brought that fire close, Gavin would burn to death. But his father checked himself, extinguished the flame, and merely hit him with a right cross. Gavin's head bounced off the floor and his limbs went limp. He fought to recover. He heard a clang as Andros used Luxin to hurl aside Gavin's Lux torch from where it was blocking the portcullis, but there was no clatter of the portcullis dropping to the floor. Andros cursed and shot a flaming missile at the rope holding up the portcullis. It fell, but the floor didn't open beneath Gavin. Andros must not have reset the trap correctly. Gavin pulled himself up to his knees, but his father saw him move and kicked. Gavin tried to block the kick, but he was too weak. Andros's foot smashed into his stomach, and another fist caught Gavin across the jaw. He fell to the ground, and Andros stepped on his neck.
"Some trap," the old man said.
Still holding Gavin down, Andros reached in front of him, where Gavin had spat out the hellstone fragment and the broken tooth he'd kept, secreted in his mouth. Gavin tried to scramble away, but Andros pinned him harder. Exerting so much pressure, Gavin thought his vertebrae would crack. Gavin caught the barest glimpse of Andros's pinprick-tight pupils. He was drafting. He threw out a hand and sent something beyond normal vision into Gavin's old trap. Gavin said, "But you can't draft, Super Violet."
"Can't I? It seems you know as little about me as I once knew about you."
With a light kick to Gavin's temple to stun him once more, Andros said,
"I think it's time you learned something else you didn't know. Take a look at what's waiting for you below."
His brother's rotting corpse was below. Or Hollum now. Gavin had thought his father would surely give his brother the burial he himself hadn't.
"No, please!"
The floor gave way, and Gavin tumbled into the yellow hell.